Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, eight-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everidge. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker who rips it down inside the 25-yard line.
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com, here is your host, Adam Carriker.
I once photoshopped Waldo out of a Where's Waldo pick and sent it to all my friends. Some men, Jake, just want to watch the world burn. Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to the Adam Carriker Show here on 93.7 The Ticket. It's a special edition of the Adam Carriker Show. We are live on location at Mulberry Barbecue. All right, Mulberry Barbecue, located at 61st and Highway 2. We are here from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. today. Again, we're live at Mulberry Barbecue, 61st and Highway 2. Our proud sponsor of the lunch hour on the Adam Carriker Show. Try their Burnt Ends sandwich, a brisket burrito, barbecue nachos, full slab of ribs, half-smoked chicken, and much, much more. Plus, their incredible sides. All right, that exact address is 6125 Apples Way here in Lincoln. Hour one of the Adam Carriker Show is also brought to you by our good friends at Hamilton Telecommunications, bringing you the latest in quality technology and communication services since 1901. Whether it's residential or business, Hamilton has the answers. Visit HamiltonTel.com. That's HamiltonTEL.com for more info today. Jake, I honestly have no idea if we're going to get through everything over the next 2 hours that we have to talk about. We have 7 clips we're going to play. I've got about 14 billion screenshots and notes. And Big Ten Media Days, we're going to give some reactions. We got a lot of quotes. We got a lot of things to get through, from college football playoff to Rule to Riola to volleyball talk. This may roll over into Monday as well. All right, how you doing, my friend?
Oh, not too bad. Not surprised to hear that the show is loaded, especially at that Big Ten Media Days where there is a lot said from several different coaches, but a lot even said from Coach Matt Rhule, and of course, dealing with their expectations this year and all that. So there is a lot to dive into. I do have to correct you. It's 8 clips, though, that we have today. So,
is it 8?
Yeah.
I lost track. After a while, I was like, I think I was texting. I was like, I think this is number 6. And then I was just like, I'm going to go with the number 7. I lost track. So we got 8 clips to get to today. So why don't we dive right into it? What's this first clip that we have here? All right, are we going to roll with the Dylan one where he talked about the goal as being national champs this year? Should we roll that one right out the gate? All right, let's go ahead. Let's roll that Dylan Raiola clip.
Las Vegas for Big Ten Media Days. Dylan, your day is really just getting started, but what are the first impressions of Media Day so far?
Kind of shocked. I mean, kind of shocked that I'm here in Vegas, but it's fun to kind of see all the other schools, see some players that I know. It's been fun so far.
Over the weekend, you told us you were really excited about the outfit. Can you give us a quick breakdown of what we got going on here?
So I got an all black with the little red piping. I got some spikes on my shoes. And then the inside, I've been actually practicing, like, because like, people are going to want to see the inside. So I got the card chips for Vegas. So this will be the only time I wear this.
One and only time. Well, you are going into year 2. And confidence you can tell is building for you. You've talked about just your leadership going into year 2. How have you seen yourself grow from year 1 going into camp in about a week?
Yeah, just being able to like have the confidence to call people out, talk to guys, and even just like being around each other. We've had a whole 2 years together. They kind of know me. They know I'm like goofy and fun, but at the same time, when it's football time, we get down to business. So they trust me and they believe in me, so I'm excited.
Talking to some of your teammates, there seems to be a different level of excitement for the offense coming into this season. How would you describe the feelings of what this offense can be this fall?
Yeah, I think explosive. That's cliche, but I don't really know any other way to put it. Coach Holgerson's been vacationing all July, so it's kind of been our show running it, but it's been fun. Like, guys know what we want. I know what they want, and so we just got to go out there and execute.
Having more time with Coach Holgorsen, how would you describe your relationship with him and how he's been able to use you to design this offense?
Yeah, I think he's very quarterback friendly. He's going to do what their strengths are. And so I think that's a big advantage. And just always making sure we're in the right play. I think that's where I've taken a step, is making sure that, you know, if we have any bad plays, bad looks, to get us in the right play. And I think that can help us be more successful.
When you reflect on your freshman season, what do you feel like you've seen when you watch games back? Where do you feel like you've learned the most? Where have you grown the most?
I know the fans will love this, but running. Yeah. I'm going to be excited to run a lot more this year. I've been training my butt off to, you know, run and be quicker and faster. But no, I think just overall, like, winning moments when the game comes down to the line, because every game we played was close. And it's either you make the play to win the game or you don't make the play and you lose the game. So being able to put ourselves in position to do that has been a big focus.
The spring, Coach Rhule said, this is the team I've been waiting for, just from a compete mentality standpoint. What do you think he means by that? Do you agree with the makeup of this team and this roster?
I agree. He has to tell us to slow down, which is a good thing to have, I think. But, you know, guys just – like, they compete so hard on the field for 3 hours of practice, and we get in the locker room, it's like, that's my brother. I'm going to be my brother's keeper. So I don't know how that, like, really works for a human brain to kind of, like, want to beat each other up all practice and then, you know, come together after. But I think that's special, makes us unique.
About a month away, what's your expectation for yourself and this team this fall?
National championship. That's the bar that's been set. That's the journey we're going to choose to go on. And so anything other than that won't be a failure, but we'll just be a little disappointed.
Well, enjoy the day.
Thank you. Go Big Red.
So I've obviously heard that clip before, but I was taking notes because I want to go through kind of piece by piece what he talked about there. Starting off, the suit. Let's start with what's important, Jake. The suit. I remember the first time I ever wore any kind of suit was going down to Texas for Big 12 media days. First of all, rode in one of the tiniest planes ever, which freaked me out, being a large man and not being crazy about heights at the time. But that was actually the first time I ever wore a suit. And he clearly got a custom suit made for this. So he's taking it serious as something he was looking forward to, something he's excited about. But as you kind of get through some of the things they talked about, he said Rhule has to literally tell them to slow down. And I'm going to paraphrase a little bit, but he talked about the human mindset, the human being, about wanting to basically run into each other, hit each other. And I call that the physical mindset. That's a toughness that is built up over time. That is a toughness that is taught by coaches, is embraced by players, or it's not embraced by players. So the physical mindset, and that's what Rhule was talking about in the spring when he said, this is the team I've been waiting for. The rest of that quote, which didn't get out initially, was from a physical mindset. They want to tackle. They want to go to the ground and practice, which you don't always do for those who aren't always able to be at practice. Sometimes coaches will keep players up from a safety standpoint. You want to keep guys healthy. When you got players begging to do more, to go harder, to go longer, to be more physical, when the coach has to tell you to slow down, that is a wonderful problem to have. That is the type of problem that you want to have. Before we get into the, you know, national title expectations and goals and et cetera, what's your reaction to all that part of what Dylan had to say there, Jake?
Well, it's just kind of cool to hear, you know, kind of the thoughts of Matt Rhule and Dylan Raiola here specifically, you know, kind of talking about the makeup of the team and where it's at. And that was a big theme, I think, from Big Ten Media Days that I took away was Matt Rhule. Basically, and we've talked about it before, not shying down from this year three, this is going to take the jump. And it's not just, you know, blind luck. We've done it before. And he did sit, you know, when he sat down with us at our table, he made sure to let us know there's a difference between building at Temple and Baylor. So it's not just, you know, we checked off all these boxes. Now we're going to go out and win 10, 11 games. But it's not just like blind, hey, year three's here, it's going to work. There are reasons why it's starting to look like it. And he really handed it over to the players, right? I mean, he's embraced this, that this is going to be the jump. This is the year they feel like they've got the culture on the team. They've got the championship expectations that they're talking about. But again, it's not just, you know, just saying it. It's got to be happening. And it is. And he's talked about how Raiola and some of the players that go out and kind of do their own practices, and not just that, but if they made mistakes, they'd start it over, or they'd make themselves run. So it really feels like to me, a big thing out of that, and you could hear it there a little bit from Dylan, is that this is a player run team. And I think that was always going to be important as far as taking that next step. And being able to kind of let loose a little bit if you're Coach Rhule, not in any way that it just allows him, frees him up to do, you know, some of his other coaching stuff.
as a coach, your ultimate goal should be you get to a point with the team where the coaches are directors, but the players are the leaders. And maybe that's what we're starting to see. Maybe that's what they're hinting at with how this team has been this offseason, the culture, the mindset, the mentality, and the leadership. And I remember early on in the offseason, it might have been way back in January, February, one of the press conferences that Rhule did, he talked about how, you know, Dylan coming in as a true freshman, I mean, highly recruited, et cetera, but when you're a true freshman starting, it's sometimes you're not as comfortable being vocal. And Dylan talked about, you know, calling a guy out, but in a positive way, hey, we got to get better. You might not be as comfortable as that when you've just arrived on campus. Clearly, that's been mentioned a couple of times now over the course of the past few months, whether it's Rhule, whether it's Riola, being comfortable to take that leadership role. And the more coaches are directors and the more players are leaders, the more I genuinely like what I'm hearing as far as the, that C word, culture, all right, which was a phenomenal thing a few years ago, then kind of annoys people. But now I think when you think about it in a proper context and you have actual proper football leadership culture, it starts to make a comeback as far as it will make a gigantic difference, especially in games, especially at the end of games and tight games. Okay. And I like that it was pointed out, no, this is not the exact same as Baylor and Temple. First of all, the conference was way different, but college football is way different. We went through this either a week or 2 weeks ago. I listed all the returning experience that Matt Rhule had year three at Baylor, year three at Temple. It was like 90% in the linebacker core. It was like 80% here and 80% there. And I think one of the position groups, I want to say it was wide receivers, I could be wrong, was like 66% returning production, and that was the lowest. We don't have that here. But college football is also different. It's the transfer portal. All right, so guys are going to come and go much more freely. So having that kind of returning production in college football may honestly never happen again. All right, especially we'll see how long it takes to rein in the wild, wild west that is the transfer portal. But depending on transfer players to come in and counting on them to come in is almost today's modern day college football version of returning production, because these guys have production. They are returning to college football. Maybe this is their first year with your program, but you're counting on them just as if they were the aforementioned returning production and or players that Rhule had at Temple or Baylor. Do got to mention the Big Ten is different than the AAC or the Big 12, even back then when the Big 12 had Oklahoma and Texas. And obviously there's been more coaching changes. So this has been its own unique animal, but every job is. I don't know if it's a good thing or that's a bad thing. It just is what it is. All right. The national title thing. And, you know, when I heard this, I was like, I don't think people are going to go crazy with this, because I think people are going to take it for what he intended. And that is the impression that I've gotten. What he intended is we're out here to try to be the best we can be. Well, the best is to win the national title. And if you're trying to be anything other than that as a highly competitive athlete, then you're doing it wrong. I'm sorry. If you're not trying to be the absolute best, like Stone Cold said, if you're not trying to win the WWF championship at the time, you're in the wrong business. It's the same thing. If you're not trying to be the best, you're in the wrong business. Now, what will actually happen? Hey, that remains to be seen. You've got Florida State, who was undefeated, then won two games and only beat one Power Four team the next year. Who would have predicted either one of those things, let alone last year? Then you got Indiana, who goes 11-1. You never know what will happen. But if you don't have that mindset to begin with, you don't have a shot for any of those things to happen. So I love the mindset, the mentality, and I can't wait to see what actually happens.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, if it goes the wrong way, you're going to get mocked for those statements, but that's fine. I mean, you've got to have the confidence. You got to be able to believe in what you do. And it really stood out to me in the bowl game last year that they were talking about, because, you know, you're kind of wondering what their – it was bowl games, as we know, kind of weird now. They're already kind of looking into the next season. And they were saying over and over, Coach Rhule, Riola, anybody you talk to would say that the goal is the playoffs. And that always stood out to me. Now they seem to move that up a little bit. And I like that, because you don't want to, you know, have this magical season, then get to the playoffs and say, we did it, right? You want to go for the ultimate prize. And if they feel like they can be a 9 or 10 win team, which people are expecting in modern day, you're a 9-win Big Ten team. Talk about those close games. I mean, you're just right there for competing for a playoff, and we've seen it too. I mean, it's no longer that doesn't even necessarily mean he thinks they're going to go undefeated, though I'm sure he's implying that as well. But we saw Ohio State lost two games last year, so there's a little bit more room for error within that statement than there has traditionally been in college football as well.
Well, they showed last year you can finish fourth in the Big Ten and win a national title. So we just shooting for top four in the Big Ten and then get in, and you never know what'll happen. That's kind of what modern day college football and the CFP really is nowadays. Again, ladies and gentlemen, we are at Mulberry Barbecue live on location. Today's special is burnt end, the burnt end dinner plate, all right, for $17 with sides and a drink, two sides and a drink. Ladies and gentlemen, come join us out here at Mulberry Barbecue, located at 61st and Highway 2, 6125 Apples Way is the exact address, 61st and Highway 2. All right, we would be remiss if we didn't mention this, whether we're wrestling fans or not, all right? This has been a very, and we're obviously going to get back to a whole lot more Husker football talk, Big Ten Media Days reaction, Rule, Raiola, and the like. I lost three icons this week, all right? Ozzy Osbourne, Malcolm Jamal Warner, and Hulk Hogan, all right? And whether you're a wrestling fan or not, I have seen podcasts all over the place since yesterday when this news broke talking about Hulk Hogan, because he wasn't just a wrestling icon, he was a cultural icon. And I heard a couple, like Megyn Kelly was talking about this, and Stephen A. Smith was talking about this, and all sorts of different, Stephen A. Smith's a little more sports-oriented, at least, but all sorts of podcasts and just talking about what this guy meant. Now, there's things, whether the 80s and 90s, when he felt like he was on top of the wrestling world and one of the cultural icons, things that have happened since then that maybe have turned some people away. Where I kind of land on this is, hey, if you're like, what he did was undeniable, and you want to recognize that, I'm perfectly cool with that. If you're like, hey, some of the other stuff made me not so much a fan of him anymore, I'm perfectly fine with that too. It's wherever you land. You know, me personally, I'm good either way. When it comes to Hulk Hogan, though, I forget which podcast I was listening to. They were talking about if you made just a pop culture Mount Rushmore in the late 80s, early 90s, it would have been like Jordan, it would have been Hogan, and then they listed two other people. And I forget, it wasn't Ali, because Ali was like late 70s, early 80s. But I was like, man, really? He was that big? I didn't even realize he was like, he's not probably like on Jordan's level, but he'd be on that Mount Rushmore at that time, just from a cultural perspective. So when you found out he passed away yesterday, you know, I was surprised he's 71. But when you think about a lot of the guys he wrestled with, Macho's been gone for a decade. Warrior's been gone for half a decade. A lot of the other guys that aren't around anymore. I know Diamond Dallas Page with his DDP yoga is helping a lot of wrestlers lose weight, get healthy, extend the length of their lives. But Hulk Hogan was 71, Terry Bollea. What was your reaction when you found out he passed away cardiac arrest yesterday?
Well, it was shocking and unfortunate. It was interesting because he did come to Lincoln for his Great American Beer Tour. So I was able to see him this past year in October. Actually, I had a restaurant here in Lincoln, and it was the first time I'd seen him. I was able to watch him wrestle. And so it was just kind of cool because it is. He goes outside of, hey, there's a celebrity. It is an icon. And I think we throw around the term icon a little bit too much, right? And I think it sometimes takes away from those that are. And I'll even say within wrestling circles, Sting is called the Icon Sting. I don't think he's quite transcends to like iconic, you know, coming down for the Raptors and all that. There was a time, especially when wrestling was more in pop culture, that he was more recognizable. I'm not saying he wasn't. That's why he gets the nickname. But when you talk about true icons, that's what you're talking about. Like, mm-hmm. Not just wrestling fans, just in general in America. And you know, he had the I'm a Real American theme song, all that sort of stuff. So at times was fighting for America at times there. So that's what it came down to. I mean, there's certain things you remember in certain celebrities that pass away that maybe impacted your childhood or impacted just the way that it was for everybody growing up. You know, I remember where I was when I heard about Michael Jackson. It's that kind of blow, I thought, this week. And it was crazy, you know, I said following Ozzy Osbourne, who is in the same kind of the same vein in the rock and roll genre, to lose that much of the culture, not just in the 90s, but I think even into the 2000s, because both of them had reality TV shows when reality TV shows kind of popped off. And there are very few, celebrities that I could name their whole family off. I could name each one their whole family off, recognize them, yep. Kind of followed their career, all that sort of stuff. So that's kind of the field we're talking about with Hulk Hogan. Like you said, there's controversies beyond that. And it's unfortunate to me anyways, that his last appearance in WWE, he was somewhat booed out of there.
Somewhat?
But, yeah.
Somewhat.
I mean, but that's what happens. I mean, he's controversial. And when you've had, and I'm not going to, you know, if you looked up what he said at times, it's been pretty bad, but when you have a camera on, when you have a microphone on you, he is human. He's going to, you know, yep. You're going to get caught. You're going to get caught up at some times and not look in the best light. Again, that's not trying to make up for what he said. It's just saying, you know, there are a lot of us that have had mistakes that weren't brought to national media's attention and therefore aren't kind of thrown, you know, kind of put into the dark corner there. But it just, you know, especially as a wrestling fan, he's just the guy. I mean, I put him at number one wrestler of all time because he helped blow up professional wrestling. I mean, to the point, again, it still strikes me a little bit odd when I see the ticker on SportsCenter and it says wrestling. It doesn't even say pro wrestling. You know, it's not like trying to explain away, hey, this is all predetermined and stuff. It just kind of is in its own space in American culture. And a lot of that is because of Hulk Hogan.
Wrestling is not two people, a lot more, but the two main guys. Wrestling is not what it is today without Vince McMahon, Hulk Hogan. Now, there's a lot of things you can look at away from wrestling, both of those guys, and like, I don't know. My one thing that I learned, because Hulk Hogan actually, Terry Bollea did apologize to the WWE locker room, kind of. What he really said was don't get caught. So what I took away from that is if you're going to apologize, make it genuine or just don't do it at all. You know what I mean? Because that actually made it worse in a lot of people's eyes. Yeah. Okay, when he went and apologized kind of to the locker room. I will say this, though. I respect – he took down Gawker. Gawker was one of those things that was a gotcha website, get a run with everything. Let's just call it what it was. Lack of journalistic integrity and constant headline chasing. And they printed stuff that wasn't true. They printed stuff they didn't really have the rights to, ran with videos, et cetera, and he took them down. So there's got to be a certain amount of accountability. And I always appreciated that about him because at least he did that. His last appearance in WWE, man, he didn't kind of get booed out of the building, but I thought it was funny. Did you hear this story? He turned to Jimmy Hart because Jimmy Hart came out with him, was waving the American flag. He goes, Jimmy, man, you got a lot of heat with the fans. And I actually thought that was a funny reaction. I actually had a chance to meet him. He was in TNA. It would have been about 10 years ago. Jacob got a chance to meet him. I think it was so long ago. Jacob might have been our only. No. We had Addison and Trinity. Actually, we had Addison. We had Jacob. Angie was pregnant with Trinity when we went to Disney World. And she walked around all day Disney World pregnant. Just a freaking warrior there. But Earl Hebner and his son Brian Hebner were huge Redskins fans. And I was playing for the Skins, invited me to the TNA show. I got to go backstage. I got to meet, like, I've got pictures with Angle and AJ Styles and got to meet Hogan, got a picture with him. And so does Jacob and got to meet Brooke. It was interesting when I met Hogan. Keep in mind, this was at least 10 years ago. He was not as big as I anticipated, but there was two aspects to that. Number two, I think he had legit kind of shrunk a little bit. I mean, he was in his early to mid 60s by this point. He also had 14 back surgeries at that point. And so he was not, like, his back wasn't working the same. I think he'd actually had a little bit of a slouch, if I remember. 14 back surgeries. I mean, that's a lot, you know. But got the chance to meet him, got the chance to meet Brooke. They got in their car and drove away right afterwards. So that was kind of cool. And as far as, you know, wrestling and who's the greatest, a lot of people would say Stone Cold. I know DP is partial to Andre the Giant, who is probably the greatest attraction pro wrestling's ever seen. Every wrestler is an attraction in a certain kind of way, but he's probably the greatest single attraction pro wrestling has ever seen. So it depends on the definition of greatest. With Hogan, there's so many people talking about it right now because of his extension beyond pro wrestling. He was the first pro wrestler to ever be on Sports Illustrated. He had shows and movies before The Rock ever did those things. Now, not all of them were phenomenal hits, but he was the first one to ever try to do them. You can go into foreign countries and they'll recognize that Fu Manchu and that hair and the bandana. I was going to say the bald spot, but the bandana and everything else. Like, they're going to recognize that. You know, all these other guys are phenomenal and great. And he had a great babyface run. He had a great heel run that revolutionized the industry with the NWO. I mean, there's a lot of guys you can mention. Bruno Sammartino is a guy who was a long time ago, but had the record for the amount of consecutive days as a champion you could bring up. Stone Cold's another guy you could bring up. I've always thought Hogan had the worldwide appeal. I always thought he had the longer run. He was successful babyface, successful heel. Stone Cold was the whitest hot wrestler in the history of pro wrestling. It was just a more condensed time and a little bit limited as far as how that exposure went and the babyface versus heel. When he tried to go heel, it didn't go so well. So for me, that's neither here nor there, but, you know, recognizing the Hulk Hogan passed away. And I'm curious, Jake, because normally this computer is not in front of me. How do I see the comments here? There's a reason it's always in front of you.
I reach over.
Can you see the comments there? See what people. All right, here we go. Hulk Hogan single-handedly stopped the Cold War. Is that a WrestleMania 7 and Sergeant Slaughter reference? That's great. I love that. All right, so people are texting in. Andre the Giant, Ross Francis. Who is that? Ross Francis.
Not sure.
All right. Craig Carvalho, maybe explain who that is. Maybe that predates my time. Maybe I don't know as much as I think I know, which is probably the truth. So, all right, send us your comments, thoughts, texts, questions, and or otherwise. What's that number there, Jake?
402-464-5685. And one last point I would like to make. Who's done more with balding than Hulk Hogan?
Oh, man. Although he covered it up.
He did.
He covered it up. So does that count?
Well, you got to take it off when you actually wrestle.
Well, that's true. Although The Rock has been balding for quite a while now. Does that count? Or?
Well, it's just a lot of people can just shave their head and go with it. Ooh. But he's like actively balding and let's just keep it and make it part of my thing.
Ooh. There's a difference between being balding and completely shaven bald head. That's a good point. I can't think of anyone who's done more with a little less hair than Hulk Hogan. It helps that it's blonde. You know, if that was a natural blonde, because his whiskers would come in dark.
Yeah. I don't know if that was natural.
That was interesting. Yeah. Brooke was blonde. She was definitely blonde. Yeah, that's true. You can see that on TV there. All right, ladies and gentlemen, when we come back, we're going to dive back into Big Ten Media Days. And we have, let me see, what'd you say, 7 more clips and about 14,000 notes to get through. Don't go anywhere. We are live at Mulberry Barbecue. We'll be right back.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.